I'm hoping to have time for some discussion, so I'm going to skip over some things rather than to get into depth. I brought some books down here, and they're just stacked here if you want to look at them. The only one that doesn't have the right title, because I can't find her book, is anything by PMH Atwater. She does intensive research on children's recalls of past lives and pre-birth. And she's excellent. And then, of course, I love Betty Eddy's, who is a Lakota Sioux and Christian, and I love her book, especially because it anchors it into Christianity. And then, of course, there's John Edwards, and I'm sorry that Sandy and... Betty, you can look at them. They're up here. So... Life After Life or something like that. This one says The Awakening Heart, but it's the one before that. Just look up her name, you'll see it. And they have a lot of them over at the bookstore also. I think that I'd like to start out with just a few quotes that Bill was gracious enough to help me out with. All of the sacred books out there have their own perspective of life and death. Some of them believe that you can reincarnate into animals. Some of them believe you cannot. Some of them believe you don't reincarnate at all. Some of them believe that in a heaven and a hell. Some of them believe in only heaven. But it seems like there's a genetic built-in need to think about life after death. What conclusion I've come to after reading the book Be Here Now, Now Be Here, is that in this dimension, this physical body is going to leave. And when it leaves, I'm either going to find myself in a really cool place, reincarnate, or it won't matter anyway. So I'm not going to worry about it because I can't change it. I mean, this body is beginning to shift. And so I, rather than to waste my time on worrying about what's going to happen to me, I don't want to waste any of that time. And I think that's what happens as you get older. I felt a little bit of that in the 70s, but when I hit 80, it was like, I'm not going to waste a single minute of life on garbage or on thoughts of things I cannot change. So that is my feeling, and you're shaking your head, yes. It's like, hey, wait a minute. You know, I used to have 40 years. Now I'm looking at it a little bit differently. And who knows, maybe they'll make us bionic and we'll be here forever. But I really don't care, you know, one way or the other. So in the Bible, it says, Luke 23, verse 43, and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. These are the words of Jesus. John 14, verse 1 through 31, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. These are all Bill's beautiful works for me. In Buddhism, and Richard's not here this morning, but according to Buddhism, after death, one is either reborn into a body, reincarnated, or they enter nirvana, which means that you don't come back. You go to that place that's just pure love. Buddha said of death, life is a journey, death is a return to earth. And I'm really going to stop there with the quotes because I'd like to share with you one of my first experiences. And I'm going to share my experiences. And then as we go down, I'd like you all to share. I'm one of those people who does not believe anything unless I experience it myself. I'm the original Doubting Thomas. You don't see me as that, but I am. If I experience something, then I go and explore it and study it, find out what other people are saying about it, but I have to experience it first for it to be real for me. Many years ago, I had a recall. That's the only thing I can call it. And I was standing on the other side, and standing next to me was a being that felt male, but I wasn't sure. Obviously, on the other side, he was one of my guides or teachers or whatever. And I can tell you that when you go to the other side, you don't necessarily leave your ego behind on the first levels of that existence. And in Ekankar, there are 9 levels to the afterlife. So I'm standing there with him, and he says to me, "You don't have to do all of this in one lifetime." And I looked at him and said, "Don't worry, I won't forget this time." Wrong. So the next thing I experienced was my own birth. And I would, just before I entered the fetus, I knew all the answers to the universe. I knew why I was coming back. I understood all the lessons. I felt the love. And then I entered the fetus right before the birthing process started. And as I went down that channel and was being birthed, it was the most horrible experience I have ever had because all of that knowledge was squeezed out until right before birth. I remember coming out screaming because I wasn't there anymore. I had forgotten everything. And so that's for why I have the title that birth is death and death is birth. The other person that said that was the present Dalai Lama. And that you know, when we are born, we're actually moving into a dream. And we forget who we are and what it's like on the other side. After that experience, I have had several near-death experiences. The first one was a heart attack. And I was sitting in the audience listening to Frank Sinatra, so you know how long ago that was. And I was so excited to be right up front and able to listen. And all of a sudden, this pain hit me in the chest. And I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. And I was instantly transported to a different place. But to get there, and I had not read about this before, I crossed a river. I was in a boat. And in that river were all these souls reaching up to pull me down into the water. When I reached the other side of the river, my grandmother was standing there, and behind her, Christ was standing back a ways. And she looked at me and she said, "You cannot stay here. This is not your time. You have to go back." And I could feel the love that was so intense. And then instantly I found myself back in my body. And I looked at my husband and I said, "I've just had a heart attack. Will you take me to the emergency room?" And I can be very matter of fact when I say things like that. So he said, "Oh, well, we're going to go to my mom's to eat." I said, "You need to take me to the emergency room." Finally, after convincing, we went to the emergency room, and I had had a major heart attack. Next past life was I was in the hospital, and they had given me too much anesthetic. And I left. My heart stopped. I was pronounced dead. I went to the other side. And this experience was different. I had a choice as to whether to stay or go back. And I will tell you that the peace and love that I experienced, it's not even on this dimension. There's no words to describe it. There's no, there's just nothing. It wasn't that I felt love. It was that I was love. That there was nothing, absolutely nothing, but love, period. And I didn't not want to come back. It did not make any difference what was going on here. I just wanted to stay there. But they brought me back, got my heart started. I was in recovery for 5 hours. When they brought me out, I went into a deep, deep depression for 3 months because I had to come back. That's how beautiful it was over there. It was just incredible. The third time I went, I had made up my mind when the process started, and it was another heart attack, that I was not coming back this time, period. Now, understand that I don't fear death. What I have a fear of is being without my husband, and I really love this planet and my friends, so I felt like I would miss them. So I went to the other side, and I was determined again not to come back this time. I was staying. I had bought a one-way trip, get over it, and they just looked at me and said, no, you are not done. You agreed to do these things this lifetime. You agreed to it. You wrote the plan. You wrote the script. It is not finished. You're not at the end of the book. And zap, I was back again. So those have been my personal experiences on the other side. The other things that I'm going to share very quickly are that a lot of you do not know that I'm a medium, that I can talk to the other side all the time. They just drop in beside me and they start giving me messages. It happens spontaneously. In other words, you can't make an appointment with me and sit in front of me and have me giving you a reading. It just kind of happens when it's supposed to happen, which is why I don't go to funerals, because it always happens at the funerals because they're so close up there. And it can get embarrassing when they keep pushing me and pushing me to say something, and then I say it and other people do not understand, so I try to keep my mouth shut. Most of you know I lost both my children. When my son passed, he came back and materialized in front of me after he had been cremated and begged me to bring him back. And that was hard. That was just absolutely devastating to have him standing there and say, it was an accident, I was murdered, I didn't want to die, please come get me. So that was not a pleasant experience at all, period. Okay. But then what happened, I have a friend who's a medium, and I'm just going to show these to you because, to make you aware, she had a 2-week conversation with his death process on the other side and sent it to me via letter form. And what happened to him, he went to the other side, and once he got anchored there, he went into like a cocoon, and he rested, and he healed. And then when that happened, he went into a circle of elders, of angels and teachers and masters, and he had to review everything in his life and understand why he had made the decision, what he could have done instead, why it was programmed that way, etc. And after he had completed what they called the review, then he, interestingly enough, turned into a white lion with wings and moved through the veil. He has come back several times and contacted me, talks to me all the time. My daughter, when she left, when she had her first daughter, she says, I hate it here. I never wanted to come here. I shouldn't have volunteered. And she says, the day my daughter turns 18, I'm out of here. And she died on her daughter's 18th birthday. Just boom. And she's over there just having a ball. She doesn't want to come back. She doesn't want to do any spiritual work. She's just creating happiness over people. And that's her job on the other side. And she comes back. She contacts me first by a hummingbird pecking on the window. And once that happens, then we begin to have conversations. So understand that anyone that is on that other side of the veil, you can talk to. And the more you talk to them, they'll start talking back. But you have to set up, you have to make a crack in that veil in order for them that to happen. Past life memories are my other experience. I probably at this point recall 30 of my past lives, many of them in detail from the time I'm a small child until my own passing. I remember a lot of my passings over. Interestingly enough, in my experience, this is the first lifetime that I've been in that I haven't either been murdered, jumped into a volcano, or volunteered to be sacrificed for my people, or committed suicide. So yay for me, I made it through this one. But for some reason, in the beginning, I had this guilt, whatever you want to say, but it was always trying to get out. This time, I've tried to stay. I finally understand that this is where the classes are. This is where you grow your spirit. And to get out too soon, et cetera, et cetera. Yes. That's right. Absolutely. Moment by moment by moment. So I'm going to share a couple more readings, and then I'm just going to open up the floor. This is interesting. This is an email I got from my daughter, Julie, 3 weeks after her passing. And I'm not exaggerating. It wasn't something that she sent before. It came in 3 weeks after her passing over. And this is what it says. And I oftentimes choke up when I read this because it brings me such joy. Do not cry for me, for I have not left you. I am the wind in the trees, the sound of the birds singing. I am the cry of a newborn, the first flower in the spring, the last leaf in the fall. I have been and always will be one of God's creations. I am in a place so beautiful that you cannot even imagine. Love surrounds me and I am totally free. Celebrate. That I finally understand who I am. That's important to me because most of you don't know that my daughter was schizophrenic and had 4 different personalities. So she spent a life of being tormented here on earth. So for me to get that from her in that way, the day my father passed, he stood at the foot of my bed. And so for me, that veil is very, very thin. I mean, they just come whenever they want to come, you know? They just show up. I have this on my computer if anyone wants it. How many of you have heard of Mellon Thomas Benedictson? Have you heard of him? Do we have any Kleenex? Thank you. Some of these things for me are a bit emotional. Mellon Thomas Benedict was an artist who had cancer. And he knew he was going to die. I mean, he just knew it. And he had a full-time health care provider, and he made her promise that when he passed, that she would not call anybody or touch the body for 4 days after he passed. And then she could call the paramedics or whatever. And he brought back the most interesting scientific information from the other side, and very, very clear specifics as to what he experienced. Probably the clearest I've read, even beyond Moody's book. The last thing he says in it is, this body gives life to the next life in dense and subtle energy. This body has been alive forever already. Meaning the body of energy, if you read what Ben, in other words, you don't just disappear. You keep going, and it's like a layered cake. Each experience grows you more until you decide you're done. So if anyone wants a copy of this, if you'll get a piece of paper, I'll email it to you. I don't have all your emails, so you can do that. My son's experience is a little bit too personal to hand out to everybody. So now I'd like to open it. What are your experiences? What are your questions? You know, I've just skipped over some of the things that I learned. How do you feel about it? What do you want to know? Okay, you're going to have to talk really.
On your second experience, you said they said you had to go back. Who was they? Who was that? Or was that you?
No, it's very interesting. I've never needed to name any guides or anybody. They were like, sometimes they appeared like a hologram. Sometimes they were just a pure light form. You know, some of the places, sacred places I've been, these pure, they look like doughboys. They really do. They're just kind of white energy. But they speak sometimes out loud, sometimes in my head. But they just said, no, you have to go back. Now, my grandmother appeared to me almost in physical form because I knew her so well, and that's what I expected. The other thing I've learned is that what you experience when you go to the other side meets your expectations perfectly. And if you believe in a hell, that is where you will go until you process that. So we have so much control over our own experiences, and yet we have none. Does that make any sense? You know, so I can't give you their names. You know, I've...
So it was just pretty much a strong message.
Yes. No, it was a demand. It wasn't even a choice. It was, you're going back, period. And I dreamed my death when I was a teenager, and it was when I was 78. Once again, they told me, you haven't done what you promised to do by 78.
But you don't know what that promise is.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah,
I do. Okay, I wasn't sure if that was something that...
No, I know what it is. You know, just haven't done it.
What stops you?
What?
What stops you?
I'm not sure. Maybe it's a fear if I get it done, I'll leave and I'm not ready to. Who knows? I mean, that may be one of them. The other one is getting caught up in the stupidity of life, which when I went to West Palm Beach became very clear to me.
I've been around a little while.
Do you think?
Yes. 90 what? 3?
I'll be 92 in December.
And I had some experiences. But does everyone have the ability or the tendency to do that? I almost committed suicide one time, but luckily my daughter Charlotte came and took the gun away from me. And I've done some time in rehab. But I was just wondering if everyone has the ability. I don't know if it's the ability or the chance. I know I'm here for a reason. And some of them are for my family, some of them are for you and here, and I just don't know. But I'm still here.
Yeah, you are.
Every day.
Well, you inspire me. I don't know about anybody else here, but you inspire me. So, you know. But you know, I understand when you said if a gun hadn't been taken away from you. There are times when I was determined to leave. And one time I was, how many of you know Florida? You do, Millard. I used to travel to all the schools down there, and I was going out to the Glades, and it's a very narrow road, very narrow. And the sugarcane trucks come this way, and on each side is a big, deep canal. So I figured on the way home I'd bought lots of insurance, and I was out of here. So I saw this sugar truck coming, and I thought, okay, this is it. And I jammed down. I was going 100 miles an hour down this road with a sugar truck coming on. Took my hands off of it, went right back, right past perfectly the truck, looked down, and there was a pair of white ghost hands on the steering wheel. And, you know, I, like I said, I made it this time, but I've tried suicide a couple times, and each time, you know, I get a real strong message. No, no, you're not leaving. You're stuck here this time. No choices. Nobody's going to sacrifice you. No jumping into volcanoes. Nothing like that. You're stuck here. You're going to finish it. You're going to do it. So, you know, and I'm very vulnerable in this church. I tell you what I have done because I think a lot of people have had those thoughts and said, you know, this place, if we get into our egos, can be very painful, in case you hadn't noticed. I mean, it can really just rip you apart, if, you know, because it is a interesting illusion. So who else? Did you have any questions? You're the one that wanted to hear everybody's discussion. How about the rest of you?
There's this one resource, though, I've never had a near-death experience. Only 5 minutes ago, I tried to kill myself. Very serious about it was when I was a teenager because I had a horrible teenage life. Sat in the kitchen with a big knife stuck right to my chest and ready to fall over. I was going to kill myself about that time. I ruined everything. But,
no, they didn't.
Thank
you. You are here for us.
Yes, I am. But a good resource, and it's everything I've ever read, is the movie What Dreams May Come.
Oh.
Powerful, powerful, beautiful movie with Robin Williams plays the lead. Very good imagery. It fits everything you're saying, everything I've read. If you haven't seen it, watch it. What Dreams May Come.
I have a copy of it if you want to watch it on a Tuesday night. I watch it periodically. Yes.
In one of your recalls, you mentioned going across.
Can you talk a little louder?
In one of your recalls, you mentioned going across the river, and there were people trying to pull you under. What does that symbolize?
I have no idea. I've read about it since that in some of the belief systems, I think it's called the River of Something, that is full of tormented people or something.
Yeah.
But I,
what dreams may come.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had never heard of it when I experienced it. I had never even seen. I was just thinking, I don't want to fall in there.
So it's your belief systems, not evil spirits or something like that.
No, no, no. And I'm also aware that on the other side, or on the way over to the other side, you have a great imagination. You know. Yeah, no, I understand. That's beautiful. That'd be good.
I mean, that's what I want to do.
I'm really being pulled. Denise, you have something to say. I keep hearing, I keep being drawn over there. Come on, Denise, what have you got to say? Yeah, we're all glad you.
I never really had that urge to do that. You know, even though we've all had our times of being low, I've always known I'm supposed to be here. You know,
I know I'm running over a little bit, but can I hold you for a minute? Millard, don't go. All right, when you come back. Doug? I think that they were different messages. If you've ever tried suicide, you get into a dark place where there is no hope and you can't see any way out. Period. Unless you've experienced it, you cannot imagine the despair. I mean, it's just like, I will do anything to stop this emotional pain. I don't care what the consequences are. I just want to stop the pain. And that's what the attempts of suicide were for me. The heart attack was a number of things. One, not taking care of myself. Two, believing too much in DNA. And three, speaking words that created it. Like I used to say all the time, it's breaking my heart. And it did. I mean, the words, so, and some of it is, natural lessons. For me, it's hard to see black and white in all of that, except for the suicide. And I can tell you what suicide feels like. And that's the reason when I see someone who's in that deep depression, I understand why they're there and what. So, Millard, I know you well enough to know you have some words to share on this. Only loud, because I'm telling you, my head feels like it's full of West Palm Beach humidity.
Thank you.
It is. Thank you. Okay.
Can I say something?
Sure.
About suicide, which I think Doug was asking about. Our culture has the idea that suicide for any reason is a sin, it's wrong, and I have to disagree with that. What Barbara was saying is she wasn't done yet. Like some people are done at that point, or they damage their body to the point where they've got to try again later. They're just not going to complete their mission with this body because it's gone. So we can't make that judgment about somebody else's choice. We don't know. We don't know what's going on in their head. We don't know what this virtual contract is. And I think sometimes it's actually the right choice.
Let me read one more thing and then we'll do the meditation. This is a new book I just got. He's a friend of mine. You can find it on my Facebook or you can go on the internet. It's Michael Murphy Burke, and he writes beautiful poetry. And the name of this one is I Heard God Laughing. I fell asleep inside a dream, and I dreamt I was awake, walking upon clouds that floated on a lake. And as I peered above and I saw the ground below, I realized all I knew were just things I thought were so. And then my wings expanded into rainbows made of light, and I arched into the darkness and dayed the deepest night. And then I heard God laughing, and the sound was that of breath, and it woke into my life, and life awoke inside my death. He's an incredible person. Okay, we're going to do a short meditation, and then we've only run over a few minutes. So, okay. I have this book with me too if you want to write it down. Your eyes and relax. I know that I am pure spirit, deathless, birthless, changeless, and eternal. I am not body. I am not conscious mind. I am not even ego. I am sense of self only, consciousness, awareness, and being. The presence that animates all life within me is altogether the real me. I am using my body for a purpose, as an expression of an idea. And when that idea is fully expressed through my work and my mission, I shall return again to unity within the universal self, leaving the body and ego behind. I do not confuse my body and my ego with what I truly am. My body is simply an instrument for my expression, and my ego is simply memory of physical experience. Returning to infinity and unity, I shall need neither the body nor the ego. I am free of the domination of ego. It is not my true self. It is simply an illusion necessary to do my work through space and time. I turn away from ego, withdraw into the depths of my being, to the immortal consciousness that lies within. Here in this magic center, my word is law. I need only speak it with faith and conviction, and it will manifest in my life. I am calm, serene, sure, for my roots are in eternity. All the things of life shall change and pass away, but I shall never pass away. For whatever life is, I shall be one with the universal subconscious. I need not strive or strain to attain immortality, nor fear punishment, nor aspire for reward. The kingdom of heaven awaits all, the wise, the foolish, the sinner, the saint, for we are all one in reality, clothed in different forms in this moment of incarnation. I do not fear death, for by it I attain the consciousness of higher self. Neither do I invite death, for it must wait until my work is done. I forsake the ego, perceive self in self, see the majesty, the grandeur, the immortality of power that dwells within me. With a huge burst of light, we fell into this world. We are not a human form. We are not caught in human form. We have never been born, and we will never die. We have always been free spirit. The open door called death is birth. It is an opening to many galaxies and dimensions. We are all open spirits, floating free, with divine origin, a whole spirit. We are love. You are loved. You are the light. You are the soul. Thank you. What? Actually, 30 minutes. I feel free to look at these books. Oh, and another one that is so good, The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. If you've ever had a person in your life who was on any kind of addiction and has crossed over, read this. The information he brings back, the most powerful statement he says in here. You were talking about non-judgment. The most powerful thing he says in here is, don't you realize I had to live my life having nothing? I had to be homeless. I had to have no love in my life. I had to have no money. I had to have the addictions. I had to let go of all attachments in order to be where I'm at now, because I am above heaven. And so it's a really powerful book. I read it once a month just to keep me anchored and out of judgment of some of the people in my life. The Afterlife of Billy Fingers.
Fingers.
Fingers. Yeah. So that's it.
Just a
something comes up. If his neighbor comes knocking on the door because he's about to, so it includes some humor, if you want to call it, which it was beautiful, but there was reasons that he couldn't commit suicide, and those reasons were because neighbors and friends were reaching out to him, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to him. A man named Obey, a man called Obey.
That sounds great. That's right. I'm going to put this up. This is the, put your email on the back if you want it. Any of these.
If you don't mind, I can put it on the website with the recording.
Okay. All right.
If you don't mind, you can.
I have no problem with that. Thank you. I'll get out of the way so you can.